You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
If you prefer real mornings, shouldn't you have a real breakfast? At McDonald's, we get real about breakfast. That's why you can have a savory sausage biscuit with delicious hash browns for only $1.50. It's time to wake up breakfast. Single item at regular price. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Okay, odds are you're one of the people in America who's better off today than 3 years ago. And now you've got some smug Democrat calling you racist and trying to jam one hand in your ass and another in your pocket. So at a time when taxes are down, jobs are up, and the economy is way up, it'd be nice if there were a candidate who had more to offer than making you pay for other people's shit. Well, the eagle has landed. Say hello to President Donald J. Trump. He ain't just making America great again. Trump's doing things no president has ever done before. He's keeping promises, packing courts, defending the border, rebuilding our military, and making Chuck Schumer cry like a schoolgirl with two skinned knees. This president is 6'3" of let's put America first. And oh yeah, immigration, jobs, drug prices, nobody's got better numbers. The game has changed, and the Democrats are officially fucking crazy. So keep America great. Stand with Trump in 2020.
The world has changed, and Microsoft Teams is there to help us stay connected. Teams is the safe and secure way to chat, meet, call, and collaborate. To learn more, visit Microsoft.com/Teams.
Get to Kohl's and take an extra 25% off Adidas for the entire family. Plus, with an extra 15% off, get up to 50% off the Big One bedding. And save on Nike athletic shoes for kids. Plus, get Kohl's cash. Plus, limited contact store drive up. Right now at Kohl's and Kohl's.com.
Offers valid July 17th through July 26th. 15% offer with promo code Big Savings. 25% off.
You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
If you prefer real mornings, shouldn't you have a real breakfast? At McDonald's, we get real about breakfast. That's why you can have a savory sausage biscuit with delicious hash browns for only $1.50. It's time to wake up breakfast.
Single item at regular price. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Okay, odds are you're one of the people in America who's better off today than 3 years ago. And now you've got some smug Democrat calling you racist and trying to jam one hand in your ass and another in your pocket. So at a time when taxes are down, jobs are up, and the economy is way up, it'd be nice if there were a candidate who had more to offer than making you pay for other people's shit. Well, the eagle has landed. Say hello to President Donald J. Trump. He ain't just making America great again. Trump's doing things no president has ever done before. He's keeping promises, packing courts, defending the border, rebuilding our military, and making Chuck Schumer cry like a schoolgirl with two skinned knees. This president is 6'3" of let's put America first. And oh yeah, immigration, jobs, drug prices, nobody's got better numbers. The game has changed, and the Democrats are officially fucking crazy. So keep America great. Stand with Trump in 2020.
The world has changed, and Microsoft Teams is there to help us stay connected. Teams is the safe and secure way to chat, meet, call, and collaborate. To learn more, visit Microsoft.com/Teams.
Get to Kohl's and take an extra 25% off Adidas for the entire family. Plus, with an extra 15% off, get up to 50% off the Big One bedding. And save on Nike athletic shoes for kids. Plus, get Kohl's cash. Plus, limited contact store drive up. Right now at Kohl's and Kohl's.com.
Offers valid July 17th through July 26th. 15% offer with promo code Big Savings. 25% off Adidas. Offers and coupons do not apply. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Not to be a backseat driver, but can you say for sure you got the best monthly payment possible on your auto loan? Could it be that you might have gotten a better deal by shopping the loan at a few places and have a lower car payment? Next time, before you go car shopping, visit Communication Federal Credit Union first. Our auto loan experts will find you a perfect loan and get you the lowest monthly payment we can. Communication Federal, your auto loan experts. Restrictions apply. Federally insured by NCUA.
Okay, odds are you're one of the people in America who's better off today than 3 years ago. And now you've got some smug Democrat calling you racist and trying to jam one hand in your ass and another in your pocket. So at a time when taxes are down, jobs are up, and the economy is way up, it'd be nice if there were a candidate who had more to offer than making you pay for other people's shit. Well, the eagle has landed. Say hello to President Donald J. Trump. He ain't just making America great again. Trump's doing things no president has ever done before. He's keeping promises, packing courts, defending the border, rebuilding our military, and making Chuck Schumer cry like a schoolgirl with two skinned knees. This president is 6'3" of let's put America first. And oh yeah, immigration, jobs, drug prices, nobody's got better numbers. The game has changed, and the Democrats are officially fucking crazy. So keep America great. Stand with Trump in 2020.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time now for the Conservative Curmudgeon Radio Show. Now, here's Grouchy.
Idea what the hell that was. Welcome in, everybody. That was pathetic. Go sit in the corner, Seymour. He's gonna break all my glass now. Oh, God, it's so good to be with you guys. It is Wednesday night on KLRN Radio, America's podcast network. It is time for your leadoff show. That's me. After me, Red Wine. I have no idea who's on the couch with the ladies tonight. Amish and Robinson after that, and America off the rails, permitting, I don't know, maybe, probably.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah, I just popped another green pill, so we're good.
Okay, that's a go then. Green is for go.
Yeah, it's an all-natural green tea extract and a bunch of other stuff. It keeps me awake for about 9 hours at a time. So we're golden!
There you go. That'll be fun at 3 o'clock in the morning, won't it?
That's what the white pill's for.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I don't need to know anything else, because if you start talking about the blue one, I'm leaving.
Now we got commercials for that. I don't have to talk about that one.
Oh, okay.
Besides, well, honestly, just for the record, since you brought it up, the green pill, the purple pill, and the white pill I take are all better than the blue pill when they're all done anyway. Ha ha.
Oh, well, okay. Well, there you go. So the technical glitch right there at the top of the hour was on my end. As I've been threatening y'all for weeks now, my connection is up and down, and it just showed its ass. So what can I tell you? Takes a couple minutes to reboot the router, and usually I'm right back on. But last night I actually spent the entire night without cable or internet here in the house. It was a nice quiet night of my phone on Spotify sitting in a half-lit room just chilling.
Your service has been up and down harder than Tubin's hand on a Zoom call. Just saying.
Oh! Boom! tell you what, that guy, he needs a job as a housekeeper the way he polishes knobs.
Well, apparently he's only good at polishing his own, so I'm not sure how all that would work.
Well, it's a sticky situation, but he'll work through it.
Okay, we should probably let you get back to your show now.
Yeah, what the hell, right? Okay, so anyway, we do actually have a few important things to talk about. They're not the most exciting things in the world. That's why I call it the news you need, not necessarily the news of the day. And I don't want to, how am I going to say this? There have been some small information releases regarding the Hunter Biden laptop, the emails. I'm not going to go into all that. I might just briefly skim across the very edge of it in another story, but we're not really going to go headlong into it here on this show. I think the ladies are planning to do a little more than that on Red Wine. And you should definitely tune in because they will have done their homework. I guarantee you that. Smart group of cookies there. And we're going to kick things off with the absolutely dumbfounding, exciting news of, according to the Consumer Expenditure Survey published by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Americans on average spent more on taxes in 2019 than they did on food, clothing, healthcare, and entertainment combined. Think about that for a minute. The bottom line, funding your local, state, and federal government cost Americans more on average last year. This is before COVID hit, so this is last year, than making sure their families were fed, clothed, had health care, and could keep a dog, cat, buy toys for their kids, pay for cable TV, attend an occasional ball game or movie, all that good stuff. For each of the last 7 years, the BLS has published the table R1 based on its consumer expenditure survey. Now, this table provides the average annual detailed expenditures made by what they call consumer units. Now, consumer units, according to BLS, includes families, single persons living alone or sharing a household with others, but who are financially independent, or two or more persons living together who share major expenses. So this column noted last year that all the table R1s going back to 2013, which was the inception of it, have shown that Americans on average spend more money on taxes than they do on food, clothing, or what BLS calls apparel and services, and healthcare. But in three of the last 4 years, according to the data published in the annual table R1s, Americans on average not only outspent more on taxes than on food, clothing, and healthcare combined, but they also spent more on taxes than food, clothing, healthcare, and for the first time ever, entertainment combined. So in 2019, American consumer units, it's what we just covered up above, so jog your memory real quick, paid an average of $18,763.99 in taxes. It's the average, according to BLS. That included $8,831 in federal income taxes, $5,240 in Social Security taxes, and $2,469 in state and local income taxes, $2,159 in property taxes, and $63.30 in other taxes. Now, I know some of you out there are going, who the hell pays $2,159 a year in property taxes? Some states, that number is considered low. Now, I get it. I do, because I live in a state with low property taxes. I am aghast at how low my property taxes are. It would make most of you puke to know that I have a house that's under contract right now that's going to sell just under seven figures, and my annual property taxes on that house is about $1,700. Yeah. The other house that I'm moving back into, my original home that I never sold and just leased out in the interim, the annual property taxes on it are $500 a year. It's ridiculous crazy. And that's really, that's just a product of being 35 miles up the road, because that's all the difference is, really. They're very comparable in square footage. The only difference is where they're located and their value. So that being said, that $18,763 in taxes easily beat the combined $15,245 that Americans spent on food, clothing, and health care. And if you break that down, the average for food was $8,169. Clothing, $1,882. I don't know where anybody clothes themselves that cheaply. But anyway, and healthcare, $5,193. But it also edged out by $429 the combined $18,335 they spent when you add in entertainment, at $3,089 per person. And again, as I tell you, this has not always been the case. This is the first year ever where it's combined to beat all four. So in 2014, by comparison, the combined $15,561 that Americans paid for food, clothing, healthcare, and entertainment exceeded by $900 the combined $14,664.13. And I know we're gonna touch on this, don't worry, because I know you're all scratching your head just like I am. They paid in federal income taxes, Social Security taxes, state and local income taxes, property taxes, and other taxes. So what is the big difference when you go back in time over these last years where we actually have more or a higher average of taxes paid after we just got tax cuts? See, this is where it absolutely shoots holes all through the Trump's tax cuts were only for the wealthy. No, they weren't. See, what BLS doesn't give us in this, in this article, and they did it intentionally, I'm sure. I don't even want to say it's BLS. It's whoever wrote the article, because I'm sure if they had 2019, they had 2018 numbers too, and we could compare the taxation rates, you know, for that. But they did not include that. They did not include that in the story, so we don't have the 2018 numbers to look at taxation on an average, or 17 for that matter. 16 is the closest they got to it. And let's see what they had on that. 17,153 on taxes total. So taxes still exceeded the big three, but not the four. So anyway, it just goes to show you folks that nobody's really doing anything for the middle part of the country. The average taxpayer is still being bled. We need more tax cuts. We'll never get them with Pelosi as the Speaker of the House and the Democrats in charge of the House, who is also in charge of the purse strings, because they will never, ever give Trump another tax cut. They absolutely won't. I think they would rather burn in hell than to give in to another Trump tax cut, should he be reelected, in 2 weeks, a week and a half, something like that. It's getting close. It's getting close. Saw the early voting returns out of Sumter County, Florida, that were the senior vote. That's where the villages are in Florida. So that's a lot of senior vote. But the ballots came in heavily Republican in the early voting. So I think that all that talk about Florida turning hard blue, I don't think it's going to be a hard blue. It may not be blue at all, but if it is blue, it's going to be the palest shade of blue, I think. We'll see. But they said that Trump had fallen out of favor with seniors. And this is like the county for seniors in Florida. The Villages is the largest senior community, probably any damn where. If you've never seen it, it's absolutely freaking amazing. This community is like it's own city. I mean, they have their own restaurants and they have their own grocery stores and theaters and you name it. I mean, it's like a master planned community, but for some 90,000 seniors, 27 golf courses. My mother lives in Sumter County. She's not in the Villages, but she does live down there. So, I get it. I get it. It's something to behold. You know, it's not for everybody, but it's definitely something you should see if you ever head down that way. Just take it in and know that the old people are down there. It's also one of the largest STD transmission counties in the country, because those old people, they still like to get busy. Oh, it's so funny. But anyway... Wow. Let's see. Mike in the chat room, I see that, talking about the Tubin weight loss plan where you jerk the weight off. Isn't that what a shake weight is? You just keep the motion going? Anyway, let's see. What else we got? Look, right before the election, guess what? Another foreign policy achievement just weeks before the election. President Trump tweeted on Monday that the United States will remove Sudan from its list of state sponsors of terrorism once Khartoum pays $335 million as agreed to U.S. terror victims. As a kicker, Sudan has asked that they become the third Arab country in 2 months to normalize relations with Israel. The news of the first part of the reported deal came in the form of a tweet from the president. New government of Sudan, which is making great progress, agreed to pay $335 million to U.S. terror victims and families. Once deposited, I will lift Sudan from the state sponsors of terrorism list. At long last, justice for the American people and a big step for Sudan. Now, Trump did not refer to the Israel-related element of the agreement, but that was reported in Sudan. That the administration had given the post-revolution government a 24-hour window to accept recognition of Israel if it wants the terror delisting to go ahead as well. So we'll see how all that pans out. But Secretary of State Mike Pompeo visited Bahrain Bahrain, Sudan, and Oman shortly before the UAE decision to recognize Israel was announced on August 13th, prompting speculation that it would not be the first. Bahrain duly agreed to normalize ties with the Jewish state, and Sudan looks to be next. If that materializes, it would be another example of the type of unorthodox deal-making which last month delivered Israel another Muslim-majority diplomatic partner in Kosovo as part of a broader U.S.-brokered economic normalization agreement between Kosovo and Serbia. Now, as a bonus, both Balkan countries also reportedly agreed to locate their embassies in Jerusalem rather than Tel Aviv. Promoting peace between Israel and its Arab and Islamic neighbors is a key pillar of the administration's approach to the Israeli-Arab conflict, and a break from the mindset that viewed an agreement with the Palestinians as an essential condition for any regional progress. You see, I can see where this is going, okay? You get enough of these other Muslim/Arab/Islamic countries, and once they normalize, it applies pressure. It starts creating a choke point, if you will, around the Palestinians to come to the table in good faith and to, you know, actually talk, instead of just demand and then get pissed and walk out. So a Sudan-Israel peace agreement would be significant since the two are still formally at war. Unlike the UAE and Bahrain, Sudan sent troops to fight alongside other Arabs against Israel in the 1948 War of Independence and the 1967 Six-Day War. In the 1973 Yom Kippur War, Sudan sent an infantry brigade, but it arrived too late to take part in the 19-day conflict that began when Egypt launched a surprise attack against Israel on the holiest day of the Jewish calendar. Now, for Sudan, the agreement to lift the terror sponsor designation would mean it could rejoin the global financial system and be eligible for loans from international lenders, aiding further transformation in the country where Islamist dictator Omar al-Bashir was overthrown last year. Responding to Trump's tweet, Sudanese Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok tweeted, "Thank you so much, President Trump. We very much look forward to your official notification to Congress rescinding the designation of Sudan as a state sponsor of terrorism, which has cost Sudan far too much." This tweet and that notification are the strongest support to Sudan's transition to democracy and to the Sudanese people. This is amazing, people. I mean, in your wildest dreams, did you ever think that Muslim-majority Arab countries would be normalizing relations, making peace with Israel? Not only has this administration done more to stabilize the Middle East than any other president in history, but the media can't stand it and won't tell you about it. That's why I'm telling you about it. You don't have to believe me. You can find the story if you look for it. You can. But don't expect to hear it on CNN, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, ABC, or even Fox News. They will not give Donald Trump one iota of credit for anything positive before this election. They won't. There won't be one positive thing to say about Trump, at least until after the election. Now, what's going to happen if he loses? They're just going to say, oh, well, this is the best thing for America because he was just a disgusting piece of trash and we needed to get rid of him because the world was looking bad at us and we needed this to get us back. Yeah. But you know what? You know what? If Trump loses, mark my words, there will be war in the Middle East because Biden's administration will screw all of this up, every bit of it. Mark it down. So the Sudanese people have suffered from the deposed regime's violent extremist actions that landed their nation on this terror list. A democratic Sudan could be a bulwark of international peace and security in the entire region. And today the United States has taken a step toward being an ally of the Sudanese people's efforts towards that future. During his nearly three decades at the helm, Bashir was notorious for not just for massive human rights abuses in Darfur, slavery, and a long and bloody civil war along with the South, but also for his collaboration with terrorists, including Osama bin Laden, to whom he gave safe haven in the 90s, prompting the U.S. terror sponsor designation in 1993. 2 years after bin Laden moved from Sudan to Taliban-controlled Afghanistan, his al-Qaeda terrorist network, in a planned or a plot planned on Sudanese soil, bombed the U.S. embassies in Nairobi, Kenya, and Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, in August of 98, killing 224 people, including 12 Americans, and injuring more than 4,000. Then in October of 2000, 17 sailors were killed in another attack planned and carried out during the Bashir era, talking about the bombing of the destroyer USS Cole in the Yemeni port of Aden. In 2007, a federal court found that Sudan's support for al-Qaeda during the 90s had enabled the terror network to carry out the attack. You know, it's just, it's amazing the transformation. Finally, after three decades, the people have won and are really wanting to be part of the world again instead of being nothing. And it's good to see. It really is. We are at the bottom of the hour. Actually, we're just a smidge past it. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we got some more stuff. Let's see, what do we got? Oh yeah, we're going to talk about this thing. Well, we're going to talk about Antifa and maybe some electoral college, maybe. Yeah, I think so. And then maybe we'll skim across some of that Biden stuff real quick. All right, so stay tuned. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Jumping through some hoops, wanna get my body loose, wanna tell you what to do. I've been running out of bounds like an animal struggling, looking for a diamond. I'm trying, I'm fighting, riding in the rhythm now.
Get to Kohl's and take an extra 25% off Adidas for the entire family. Plus, with an extra 15% off, get up to 50% off the Big One bedding. And save on Nike athletic shoes for kids. Plus, get Kohl's cash. Plus, limited contact store drive-up. Right now at Kohl's and Kohl's.com.
Offers valid July 17th through July 26th. 15% offer with promo code BIG SAVINGS. 25% off Adidas. Offers and coupons do not apply. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Not to be a backseat driver, but can you say for sure you got the best monthly payment possible on your auto loan? Could it be that you might have gotten a better deal by shopping the loan at a few places and have a lower car payment? Next time, before you go car shopping, visit Communication Federal Credit Union first. Our auto loan experts will find you a perfect loan and get you the lowest monthly payment we can. Communication Federal, your auto loan experts. Restrictions apply. Federally insured by NCUA.
Okay, odds are you're one of the people in America who's better off today than 3 years ago. And now you've got some smug Democrat calling you racist and trying to jam one hand in your ass and another in your pocket. So at a time when taxes are down, jobs are up, and the economy is way up, it'd be nice if there were a candidate who had more to offer than making you pay for other people's shit. Well, the eagle has landed. Say hello to President Donald J. Trump. He ain't just making America great again. Trump's doing things no president has ever done before. He's keeping promises, packing courts, defending the border, rebuilding our military, and making Chuck Schumer cry like a schoolgirl with two skinned knees. This president is 6'3" of let's put America first. And oh yeah, immigration, jobs, drug prices, nobody's got better numbers. The game has changed, and the Democrats are officially fucking crazy. So keep America great. Stand with Trump in 2020.
As a small business owner, you deserve more. More confidence, more connectivity, more of the tools that help your business thrive. And at Cox Business, you can expect more from us. We don't just have sales reps. We have perfect plan identifiers, people who will work with you to make sure your business gets everything it needs and nothing that it doesn't. Your business deserves more, and that's why you can expect more from Cox Business. Call 800-526-8572 to switch today.
I love my music. I wish we had time to let it play a little longer, but we got to get busy again. It's Wednesday night on KLRN Radio, America's podcast network, and you're over halfway through here and on your way to the Red Wine, Amish and Robinson, America on the Rails. So, what do we have? We have a new poll. Yes, I know. Everybody's poll thinks that everybody thinks that their poll is the right poll, especially Jeff Toobin. Anyway, a new poll conducted by the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, Real Clear Education, and College Pulse. They queried about 20,000 students at 55 college campuses across America to determine current attitudes about the First Amendment, censorship, tolerance, and self-expression. Responses ranged from routine and expected to eye-opening and disturbing. After violent protests spurred by Antifa that caused $100,000 in damage erupted at Berkeley in 2017 over a speaking engagement I hate even bringing Milo's name up, but yeah, it was Milo Yiannopoulos. Undergrads now seem either inured to extremism of this kind or increasingly embrace it. That same year, Berkeley blocked Ann Coulter from speaking. Ben Shapiro had to reschedule his appearance there based on violent protests in opposition to his engagement. With an irony lost on campus reactionaries everywhere, not just at Berkeley, this took place at Berkeley, which is known as the seat of the free speech movement. 2017 was the same year an Antifa member was quoted as saying about such speaking engagements. Here's the quote. "There is the question of whether these people should feel safe organizing as Nazis in public. And I don't think they should. Someone who is intent on politically organizing for the sake of creating a state-sponsored genocide, I don't think is something that we should protect." self-awareness. How does it work? Some 4 years later, this radical view appears to have insinuated itself into the bloodstream of a steadily metastasizing minority of America's not-so-gimlet-eyed undergrads. A response to a question in the poll about what students deemed acceptable actions to protest campus speakers is telling. Is ripping down posters, blocking speakers from speaking, shouting them down if they do, blocking audience members from entering, and even using violence to stop any of that acceptable? Just a shade under 20% felt that such actions, including the use of violence, were more than justified. 82% of the students felt that violence was never justified. So a subset of undergraduate students condones violence against dissenting viewpoints they find unacceptable. The attitude is quickly becoming the new normal in a country where freedom of speech has been a bedrock value since its founding. The poll also revealed that self-censorship is burgeoning on campuses, which is felt by students of all political stripes, but most acutely by college conservatives, who are typically outnumbered and cowed into silence. 72% of conservatives reported self-censorship in response to prevailing attitudes on campus, while 55% of liberals felt likewise. At 71%, DePaul University had the highest number of students reporting self-censorship, with an astonishing 94% of campus conservatives admitting to quelling any instinct to speak their political mind. The poll further demonstrated that better than one-third of respondents from Ivy League schools felt it was sometimes or always acceptable to shout down a speaker with whom they disagreed, versus 27% at non-Ivy League schools. There were apparently no questions about the increasing dearth of civility in our society or the vanishing rare liberal values of open-mindedness and tolerance. Of the 55 schools polled, the institutions with the highest overall scores for the positive perceptions of freedom of speech were Kansas State University, the University of Chicago, Arizona State, Texas A&M, and UCLA. And for the schools which the inverse was true, included Syracuse, Dartmouth, LSU, University of Texas at Austin, and DePaul. Now, whether fairly or unfairly, sociology has often been critiqued as the science of the obvious. Polling also often expends a lot of time, energy, and money to prove something of which most everyone is already aware. To wit, the study concluded that the prevailing viewpoint on most campuses is liberal. And you can file that under things we already knew. Now, next up, let's see, we got to skip ahead. Electoral College. I love this story. I read this article and I had to piece this thing together and do this for you guys. So every 4 years, there are both supporters and opponents of the Electoral College. Recent years, those opponents have been much more vocal. And both groups offer similar observations about how our nation selects its chief executive. Supporters note that the Electoral College is uniquely American, a reflection of federalism and the founders' understanding of the dangers of raw majoritarianism. Opponents, meanwhile, growls that no other democracy does it this way. No other nation, they say, would let the second place candidate win the election. Now, both are claiming pretty much the same thing, even if they interpret it a little differently. And guess what? Both are wrong. It is true that no other country has a system for electing its chief executive exactly like the United States. The same can be said for any other major democratic nation. The Canadian system is not exactly the same as other parliamentary systems. The French and the German systems are vastly different, and so on. Nations have developed their own methods of selecting a head of government that draws on unique history, culture, and political systems. What most democratic countries have in common, including the United States, is that we do not directly elect our head of government. Instead, most nations use a two-step democratic process in which the public votes for the people who then vote for the head of government. The Electoral College in the United States and the national legislature or parliament in most other democratic nations. The fact that the Electoral College gives voters in some states more weight than those in other states is hardly unique either. Other democratic nations, including Botswana, Denmark, Switzerland, they do the same thing. In Canada, too. Parliamentary districts typically have between 90 and 110,000 people in the four most populous provinces, while those in the remaining nine provinces and territories are generally smaller, averaging about 70,000 people, with several that have only 27 to 36,000 people. Nor are we unique in having a chief executive who did not win the popular vote. Norway's prime minister heads a coalition that finished behind the rival coalition in the popular vote in 2017. And Canada's prime minister was re-elected last year under similar circumstances. Australia, Japan, New Zealand, and the UK have all had leaders in recent decades whose parties finished second in the popular vote. The most unique thing about the Electoral College is that it is not a continuing body that can later reverse itself, as frequently happens in countries where the legislature selects the chief executive. For example, four of the last six British prime ministers took office not by leading their party to victory on election day, but by coming out on top in internal party leadership contests. And Italy is on its 67th government in the past 75 years as a result of constantly shifting coalitions. In the U.S., fights over party control or crumbling coalitions cannot suddenly change our nation's leadership without the voters having a say. Other than this unique feature, which guarantees voters a say and provides stability in our nation's leadership, regardless of the party of who the CEO is, the Electoral College looks a lot like how most other democratic nations select their chief executive. So, people, shut the fuck up with your complaints about the Electoral College.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Really? Who are you and what have you done with G? Now I understand why the connection dropped. There's no way G would drop an F-bomb live on the air.
Yeah, there is. And you know it,
it's
too.
It's a good thing we play the disclaimer.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So as promised, I told you I would brush against this real quick. We won't spend a great deal of time on it, I promise. But in all of this Biden stuff in the media, you've got one side that is completely trying to ignore it. You have another side that is completely trying to blow it up. What in the hell is going on in this country when the most sane person in the MSM room, the mainstream media room, is friggin' Geraldo Rivera? I mean, what the hell? Really? Geraldo Rivera challenged the notion that Joe Biden never asked his son how he made his fortune in a country that the former vice president was over the policy of the U.S. toward at the time that he made it. Rivera posed his question in a tweet on Tuesday. How would you have reacted if you were then Vice President Joe Biden's position and your troubled, drug-addled son suddenly struck it rich? Say you're the vice president. Your son is troubled and drug-addled, tossed out of the military. You know, we're, as parents, we're really only about as happy as our unhappiest child. Now your kid goes to a country over which you are holding aid money. You are demanding prosecutors be fired. You are controlling U.S. policy toward this country. And your kid has millions and millions of dollars pour in. Do you say, hey, congrats, kid, how'd you do it? Or not? Actor Kevin Sorbo chimed in, and he asked a very similar question. He said, look, he said, if one of my children had made a fortune, I would certainly have known about it. I would have certainly asked how. He said, you know, he said, I have three kids. If one of them struck it mega rich suddenly, I would know. And he says, are people really buying that Joe Biden didn't know? Now, in an earlier tweet that same day, Rivera suggested that the laptop allegedly belonging to Hunter Biden and containing emails discussing lucrative influence peddling relationships with Ukraine and China should be a major topic of Thursday night's presidential debate. We know it won't be. You think they're going to cut Trump's microphone off at the 2-minute mark? Wait till he starts talking about the laptop. They'll cut him off before his time's up. I kid you not, they will. They'll shut him down so fast. But Geraldo said, start with Hunter Biden's emails unless and until the Biden campaign can credibly deny that the computer belongs to Hunter or allege its contents have been altered, which DNI, FBI, and Justice are saying, no, it's legit, it should be front and center in the campaign. Absolutely it should. Leave it to Geraldo. God help us. Okay, it's time. It's time for the good news story to wind up the show. We're almost there. Last year, Tim Yoris, a veteran teacher of 22 years, was forced to face one of life's hardest lessons when he was diagnosed with colon cancer. This July, despite chemotherapy treatments, doctors told the 45-year-old father he only had a few months to live. He decided to spend what precious time he had left at home with his wife and three kids. After revealing the circumstances of his retirement from Washington High School on social media, the Sioux Falls, South Dakota community immediately rallied to his support. One thing Yoris was determined to take care of before time ran out was to make sure the family home got a fresh coat of paint. His wife had been bugging him for a long time to paint the house. She had her color picked, and he was going to spend the time to do it. He turned to his friend Doug Rinkin, a retired chemistry teacher, for help. I just asked him if, during the summer, which I probably won't be here for, he could finish painting what I don't for the wife. Well, Rinkin did a little better than that. The following Saturday, a painting crew comprised of Yoris's former co-workers arrived with donated brushes, sprayers, drop cloths, and paint. Doug told me he got a little bit of help, but I didn't know it was going to represent my whole career. People from all my years at Washington High, Yoris said. 5 hours later, after the facade of the once brown house was light blue, everyone celebrated with an impromptu get-together in the family driveway. There is a great photo that went with this. I wish you guys could see it because they're all hoisting big cold beers up in the air. It was great. If you spend your life being a good person and hanging around good people, trying to make a positive impact on your community, when you have that need, people show up, Yoris reflected humbly. It's pretty amazing the outpouring of love that my family's had. Another lesson the Yoris family will be reminded of when they look back on this day, that sometimes the color of love is blue. Folks, that's the show. If you like it, tell your friends. If your friends like it, you need new ones. But they and you can find me every Wednesday on KLRN Radio, America's podcast network, with the Conservative Curmudgeon Show. I'm your host, The Grouch. Peace.
I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years.
To us.